our teaching, which I want to begin today, I've seen trying to get a very good title for it. But the point I want to make in the series of teachings, which I'm beginning today, is to bring our attentions to, our various attentions to the thing that's core in life. Do you understand? Jesus said to Martha, he said, one thing is needful. Don't ever forget that. He said, one thing is what? Needful. This was when Mary was running up and down, when Martha was running up and down, trying to do many things, and she was complaining that Mary was not participating in what she was involved in. What was Mary doing at that point in time? She was settled at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words. And Jesus said to Mary, Martha, in response to her request to tell Mary to participate, he said, you are bothered and concerned by too many things. He said, however, only one thing is needful. Everybody say it. One thing is needful. And he said, Mary has chosen that good part, and it would be criminal for anybody to try and take that away from her. And that's what I want to talk about beginning from today. That one thing that is needful. I've been looking for a way to coin, the title for the series. That is central matter, or the core of the matter, or the heart of the issues of life, from where the life, all right, that you need to succeed in life will come from. That one thing that is needful is what I want to begin to talk about today. Of course, we know that that thing is the Word of God. I want to take a few texts of the Scriptures. All right, we'll read a few verses as my texts. And then, in fact, I have my computer here because that's the only place where I have an amplified Bible. Then after that, I'll drop it. Then we'll continue in my other Bible. All right? So quickly, if you have your Bibles, let me read about three portions. Open with me. Let's start from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. The book of Revelation, chapter 22, is where we are going to begin. And there's something I want to first explain. That's why I want to read this. I'm reading just two verses. I want you to know what I want to say carefully. I will read this, then I will explain it. Now, John was saying, in concluding his writing, he said in verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And he said, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He said, God shall take away from him his part. Everybody say his part. That is, each person has a part. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Okay? Now, let us read another one. This time around from the book of Acts, chapter 20. I need to read the Amplified Bible to get this one out to us very clearly. The book of Acts, chapter 20. From that Revelation, chapter 22, we see that each person has a part. I will explain that in a moment. But first of all, let's read this other one. The book of Acts, chapter 20. When Paul was about to depart and he was having a farewell meeting with the people in Ephesus, he said to them, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He said, that word is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, that word, the inheritance, what I want to read to you from the Amplified Bible. Please quickly, just listen to me. Let me read from the Amplified Bible, that verse 20, that's Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He said, and now, brethren, I commit you to God, I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. Now, listen to this. He said, it is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Why did I read this? It's because he said, you have your own rightful inheritance. Are you getting the point? In Revelations, John said that each person has a part. And so that you don't lose your part that's written in the book. So you don't lose your part in the tree of life. So you don't lose your part in what God has prepared and the things that were recorded in that book. He said you must be careful not to do certain things. What am I emphasizing? That each person has a part. Are you getting my point? And Paul was saying it here also. He said you have your own rightful inheritance. Something that belongs to you and does not belong to anybody else. Please don't ever forget that. You've heard me say several times, I don't believe in chance. He said, oh, you didn't get there on time. You were just the right person for the job. But because you were not there on time, somebody has got it. I say all the time, don't ever make that mistake. I'm not the only person that God wants to bless. I didn't get there on time because it was not mine. If it was rightfully mine, it will wait till I come. When Samuel was going to anoint David, don't ever forget, David was not around and David was not aware. Yet, the oil refused to move. Samuel refused to move because God didn't give him the moving order. Why? Because David was not around. Samuel couldn't rest until they went to look for David wherever he was. If David had traveled abroad that season, Samuel would have had to wait until David would come back. Why? Because there is an inheritance. There was a part that belonged to David, and Eliab could not take it because of David's absence. Abinadab could not take it just because David was not around. So I don't believe in chance. If you were just here, that job is 72 million naira. It will have just been yours. What happened? I have come to understand that what happened is that it's not really mine. On the surface, it looks like it should have been mine, but the truth is that it's not mine. And if you remember something, if you realize something, put it in mind all the time, you're not the only person around you. In fact, the only reason why you exist is because God wants to bless the person next to you. Did you hear what I said? The reason why you exist is because God wants to bless the person next to you. Therefore, if that person is blessed, you should be happy. Christians have no business being jealous. You hear what I said? Christians have no business being jealous of anything, of anybody. No. If all of you become very rich, multi-millionaires today, I should be happy. Why? That's why I've been preaching. If everybody is healed and I'm the only one that's still sick, I won't be angry. That's why I've been preaching. That's why Paul said, as poor, yet making many rich. There's no reason why I should be jealous. And get ready for it. There's no reason you should be jealous. Get ready for it. People that were born after you will be promoted above you one day. Listen, I'm not cursing you. That's just the way life is. And the reason is simple. Look, John looks at it and said, did I not tell you? He must increase and I must decrease. I was born before me in him, but he must increase. He's my cousin. I went into ministry long before him, but he must increase. Then one day his disciples came and said to him, Oga, he was a member of this church. He has gone to start his own church. Now he has more members than us and people are living here and joining his church. He said, did I not tell you that no man can receive anything except it is given to him from above? I warned you earlier, he must increase, I must decrease. He said, this was the reason why I was born, to introduce him to the world. You'll be a lecturer. Listen, were you not in primary school at the time? If you're ever in primary school, say amen. If you have now advanced educationally more than your primary school teacher, say amen. Why should he be angry? He was not made a primary school teacher so that you remain in primary school for life. He was made a primary school teacher so that one day you will be qualified to go to secondary school. And one day you will overtake your teachers in secondary school. It is not usual for secondary school teachers to hold PhDs. Doesn't mean they are not intelligent. Does not mean they are not progressive. One day, the people they taught will return with PhDs. One day, one of them will become a vice chancellor of a university, and a secondary school teacher will have just made it to be a principal.
When human beings don't understand, listen, let me tell you the truth. Life is temporal. It's just a point in eternity. And we all must stand before the judgment throne of Christ. You put that in mind, you will never be jealous of anybody. Ah, can you imagine? I was a teacher in secondary school. Now he's a vice chancellor. You're a secondary school teacher. It's not a crime. It's a good thing. God will bless you, bless your descendants if you do your job well. Being a vice chancellor, does not mean he's better than you are. It's just his part in the inheritance of God. It's just his part in the book of life. Are you getting the point I'm making? Do you understand the point I'm making? That's just the way it is. So that's why Christians have no business being jealous. None. There are many people that I have overtaken. Materially speaking, physically speaking, there are many people that overtake me. I'm not joking about that too. I'm not trying to sound humble. There are students I taught who are 10 times richer than me today. It's not, no, I don't, it's not as if I can point to one, but I know they must exist. That's just life is. That's how life is. I'm not called to be in quotes. You know what I mean? No, my calling, I'm not doing business, trying to gather money. I'm a preacher. And if I taught you the word of God, you can get up one day, go to Lagos, start a church. I have 10,000 people. I won't be surprised. It will be a good thing. And I will brag. I used to teach him those days. And whenever you see me, you will see prostrate. Are you getting my point? Yes. If I would deliberately come to the front of your church to greet you so that everybody will know. I know he's the pastor of 10,000 people, but I taught him. I said, Steve, you can shout all you want in this church. Bow down when you see me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's it. Christians have no business being jealous. Are you getting my point? No, we don't. That is, it's not necessary. It is not. It's not. Each person has its part, and we should all understand that and be proud when God reveals our various parts to us. Do you get what I'm saying? All right, let's continue. Let me read one more scripture so I can take this computer out of here. All right? The other one I want to read, I don't need it now, but let me just quickly read it then so I want to remove this. It's from the book of Deuteronomy chapter... it's from the book of Mark chapter 4. Have you read that? No. Okay. I'll come to that later, but I just want to read it now so that... I can drop this thing from here. The book of Mark chapter 4. We have read Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, so that we understand that we have a part. Paul also confirmed that when we read from Acts chapter 20, verse 32. That was the first one in which we have to read the Amplified to get the sense out very clearly. The next one I want to read is book of Acts chapter, Mark chapter 4. Let me first read verse 24 from my usual New American Standard, and I read from the Amplified. It's and it was saying to them, take care what you listen to. And he said, by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. And whoever has to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. Now, please, I want to read that verse 24 in the Amplified Bible. Verse 24, Mark chapter 4. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Now, please notice that. Be careful where you keep your ears, where you pay attention. Be careful where you go to listen and let them fill your heart with stuff. He said, this is the reason why I'm saying be careful. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you. Please, I'm going to refer to this later. I just want to take this computer out of here. So let me read it. This is the only Amplified Bible I have around. It said, be careful what you are hearing. Be careful the kind of attention you give to the things that have been said to you. Now listen to this. He said, the measure of thought and study that you give to these things that have been said to you will decide the amount of virtue and knowledge and understanding that will be returned to you. Now please notice that. I want to notice very carefully. Now, I read from that Revelation chapter 22 to start to emphasize something to us that we all have a part in this life. One of the things that Christians must bear in mind as they walk around is to realize that we are not accidents. That's a matter of fact. We read from the book of Psalms, chapter 14, previous times, that everybody has a book. Do you understand? Jesus said it clearly. There's something about me that was written in the book, in thy books. Do you understand? That is, there's something that God wrote about each person in his book. That's when we're talking about predestination. God wrote something about you before you were born. That's a matter of fact. In fact, Jesus said it like this, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Listen to this. That is, there was something that was missing on the earth so that Jesus could come, and this applies to everybody. All right? The same way the Father sent him, he said, I sent all of you also. He said that so that Jesus could come and fulfill that a particular kind of body was prepared for him. Now, without spending too much time on it, let me just expand that a bit. All right? That is, what he was saying is that for me to come in the kind of flesh I came in, listen to this, there had to be a nation that I would belong to. So a body thou prepared for me was why Israel existed. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, Israel was a body that God prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to come from a particular place. If we were around, when we did our study, then we started on CD, on MP3, our study in Genesis. We saw how God called Abraham and prepared until... The reason why Abraham was called was so that Jesus might come. It was part of preparing a body for him. And what I'm saying to you also is that it's not just about the Lord Jesus, about you also. There is a reason why I'm a Nigerian. There's a reason why I'm a black man. And there's a reason why I'm this black as a black man. Are you getting my point? There are certain truths, believe me. You know, there are things I teach these days that no white man can say to a black man. Even I was a black a Christian, student of the word, and a white man comes to preach it to me, I will lynch him. I'm being honest. There are things that only me can say to my fellow brethren. When I discuss with people and say Africans have a curse over them, and there's a reason why they have collectively been backward, they can't be angry. Let a white man say it. I will lead the lynching of my brother. How dare you? I will call him names. He's racist. But if I said, who wants to tell a nigger is racist against a nigger? It's not possible. So bring certain truths to the body of Christ. I have to be born in a particular way. You get what I'm saying? It's called a body that has prepared for me. I wasn't born by accident. No? My father did not marry my mother by accident. God looked, a body we have to prepare to bring certain truths out into this world. So, this man has to marry this girl. But that's not the one he really wants to marry. He said, too bad. Many are the plans in the heart of a man. But the purpose of God in bringing forth banking must stand. Are you getting my point? One day, that's after my dad passed on and we're after the funeral. They called it an extended family meeting. And one of my uncles was explaining the history of the family to me. And he was trying to explain that, listen, I shouldn't, because I have a cousin, all right, like a second cousin, who's a very senior minister in Ondo State, all right? And he's not a normal, traditional man. You know, he's a believer. You get my point? So people have issues against him because of his ways. So that one was trying to explain to me. He looked at my name, that had my name changed from this to this. Is it because of Christianity? I said, Uncle, yes. He started telling me stories that we shouldn't think, that's in his mind, me and that my cousin, that we are the first Christians. He told me a story that it was this family that first ended idol worship in this area. He told me a story of how they brought the gods together and set them on fire. In my mind, God knew that things like this had to go on before I was born. So my ancestors have been fighting idolatry for a long time. As he was saying, that's what I was hearing. Remember, I said, good, so you guys did round one. We are carrying it to the fullness. A body that has prepared for me. That's what I'm saying. So God located where they had burnt idols before. You follow what I'm saying? I said, from here we'll bring forth this man of God for this generation. Are you following what I'm saying? So it didn't apply to the Lord Jesus alone. It applies to me also. It applies to you also. Are you getting what I'm saying? It applies to you also.
Don't ever say, oh God, why they not bomb me for America? God say, listen, the roads are too good. That's why they didn't give birth to you in America. The houses are too well ordered. They are too cheap. Things are too easy. That's why they didn't give birth to you in America. If I give birth to you in America, the ideas that suffering is supposed to cook out of your soul, they won't come out. You'll have been born in a good hospital. The healthcare will be too good. Therefore, I prepared a body called Nigeria to bring. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? A body that has prepared for me. Are you getting my point? Please, you must get that one clear. You're not born by chance. You have a part. Now, that's what I'm trying to emphasize here. You have what? A part. God looked at Jeremiah and said, hey, oh boy, come. Before you were conceived, we had written these things down. That's why Jesus taught them to pray. Pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. So he said to Jeremiah, this is a prayer you will pray. Before I was born, he knew me. Say after me. And Jeremiah said, before I was born, you knew me. And I consecrated you to be a prophet. And you consecrated me to be a prophet. Therefore, where you go, or where I say you go, that's where you will go. Say, yes, Lord. That's how to pray. Are you getting my point? It wasn't new. Jeremiah's calling was not, that's why God would have beheaded him if he had refused. He would have been called an unprofitable servant. Listen, you have a part, that's what I'm saying. God created a giant puzzle. And one of those puzzles, the pieces, is called you. Are you getting my point? One is called me. I have to fit in a particular place. And that place is called my part. The next thing you say, what's the principle of judgment? We said it before, books were opened. The dead were judged according to the things written in the books. I'm not taking that one now because I'm just trying to bring it down to the thing I want to explain in this season. Talking about the centrality of the word of God in bringing forth into reality your part in his book. That's what I want to explain. Now, what is the issue of judgment? Books were opened. There are two sets of books. There are books that were written before you were born. Like we've already explained, that's where your part is described. Then the fulfillment of your part is written after you had lived. And judgment is by comparing the two books. Did you do what we said you should do? We know these things. I'm just reviewing them. We've discussed this in several times, all right, in previous times. Did you do them? Now, why are you going to be judged concerning whether you did them or not if God had, let me put the word, control on whether you did them or not? The issue is that he really doesn't have that kind of control. What he does is to put the control in your hands. And that's why, in quotes, he spends all this time. I was going to say waste time. No, it's not waste. That's why he spends all the time to persuade you. That's the word. He spends all the time to persuade you. They don't just give birth to you and suddenly you feel the place, your own part in that great puzzle. No. You're born, you're scattered. And then God begins to persuade you. That's where you will hear a word that will tell you to come. You have a choice. You can say no. Then God has to make another person. Sometimes, listen to this, wait another generation. I said to you before, there's no proof that Abraham was the first person that was called. Only our Bible is the way it is today. That's Genesis down to the birth of Jesus Christ because Abraham answered. But they had a cousin that was called. That one said no. I've said, if I don't marry this girl, I will die. You know, it happens. Kings have given up their thrones because of women they wanted to marry. When I was young and stupid, I commended them for following their hearts. Now I know it's stupidity. It's romance novels that make you look like a king that follows love. Love is not, listen to me, romantic love is not the purpose of life. You know, when we were young then, what do you call it? There's this film this guy did, Coming to America. Eddie Murphy. I look at the film, it's a bunch of nonsense. If you grow up like that, better marry that girl they found for you. Now look for an American girl that help you scatter your father's truth. Madness. I have grown. I know what makes sense and what does not. whole movie, all those love stories are confessions in Satanism. Believe me. And people are shocked what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying now. It's not they forget all those ones of those days. They say a king leaves the throne because he loves a woman. He's an idiot. He said, Pastor Michael, what are you saying? If you know you were born for a purpose, you won't behave like that. You must maybe anyway, he's good he left. He's not a good king. He's good he left. Yeah, he's good. Go and read the story of Adoniram Judson. It was a matter of, I was listening to a story being told by Ravi Zacharias. This was a man who had a lot of, he was not an attractive person, yet one girl fell in love badly with him because he was very, very smart. When he told the girl that he was going to go to India, and the girl said, no, I know they go. Said the guy agonized for days, trying to persuade her, finally realized that it was not either India, for what her name was Lydia or something. Finally, it's either Lydia or God. He abandoned love for Lydia and went to India. He died at the age of 33 or so, but before that time, he had translated the Bible into like 4 different languages. There are people who married the girl. They never wrote anything. We are not telling their story years after. Let nobody deceive you into thinking that the good king abandons the throne to go and marry. They give a helpmate to help you fulfill a purpose. Do you get what I'm saying? Well, now we have to shake Christianity out of romance into reality. All the young ladies, I say, Pastor Banky, I don't believe you are saying this. The point I'm just making, all right? Purpose is first. Are you getting my point? Yes, it is first. All right? So, many people, all right? God called Abraham. There are those who didn't follow. Yes, they had bought land. They can't leave the land. So God left them and went to look for Abraham. I mean, at the age of 75, where am I going again? We bought a company. We have established ourselves. We are okay. The story of John G. Lake that I told several times. He was a made man, multi-millionaire. When the Lord sent him to South Africa, he sold everything that he might go to South Africa. And that's why we are still telling his story till today. What am I saying? Yes, you have your part. But this is how God, this is a righteous foundation for judgment. It's not compulsory. God can't force anybody to fulfill anything. We all have to make choices. Either immediately after this series or as part of this series, I will talk in details again about predestination. But you can read what I'm going to say before then by just picking up the tract. It's free, predestination, our tract, predestination. Or you look at the book, Choices, Key to Destiny. I'm just going to discuss those things again. You will know how the matter of predestination is. It's not just what's going to be is going to be. No, there's nothing anybody can do about it. Que sera, sera, or sera, KK, whatever. No. There are things you can do about them. And that's the principle of what? Of judgment. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm just trying to remind us of things that we know already. Peter said that though you know them already, I will be careful to still keep reminding you of them. All right. Now, let me define a word for you. Success. What is success? What is success? Let me summarize it. Success is the manifestation, the full manifestation of everything that God created you to be. That's what success is. Therefore, there's no universal definition materially for success. There's none. I've heard all kinds of doctrines. John the Baptist did not know the truth. If he knew the truth that we know now, hallelujah, he would have been wearing Armani suits and preaching to the Pharisees. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Was John the Baptist successful? In my opinion, yes. Purpose with God is more important than counting length of days. He said to the disciples, he must increase, I must decrease. What he was saying in effect, if you look at it closely, our ministries are not going to run parallel to one another.
And Jesus never, listen to me, he never preached publicly until he heard that John the Baptist had been taken into custody. Go and read your Bible. The Bible says clearly that when he heard, he was teaching privately. He was gathering disciples. He was getting to be known as a rabbi. But when he heard that John had been taken into custody, he got up and began to declare where John stopped. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Was he successful? Yes. He told Peter and co, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. He showed them to Peter, and those ones got up and ran after him. He introduced the people. Listen, we are not going to dive into details now, but you know the principle of the third day that I've taught several times. That Jesus told the people, the Lord told the people in Exodus, he told Moses, go and tell them, prepare today, tomorrow, for on the third day the Lord will come. That's the way it goes. 2 days to prepare for the coming, the third day of the Lord. John the Baptist was the first and second days of Jesus Christ, and Jesus was the third day of John the Baptist. You get what I'm saying? That is, without John the Baptist, Jesus couldn't have manifested. Go and study the book of Luke very well. You'll find out that nobody that did not hear the baptism, that did not bear the baptism of John, got anything from the hands of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees that opposed him while he was alive, that's John, they had no choice. They continued to oppose Jesus when he began to manifest. That's why Jesus used to tell stories that a banquet was being prepared. Then they went on the roadside and gathered people, coming, 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 coming. They did not come. Then when the banquet was about to be served, they first locked the door. Once John died, the door was locked. Was he successful? Yes. He preached. He gathered people. They repented to prepare for the manifestation of Jesus Christ. What is success? Success is being everything that God created you to be. Are you getting my point? They can tell you stories. A man did a walk and won the Nobel Prize at the age of 26. That's his problem, not mine. I didn't do any work worthy of a Nobel Prize at the age of 26. Doesn't concern me. I'm not going to go to heaven. They say, everybody line up. Nobel Prize winners on this side. Nothing like that. No, nothing like that. Success is not judged by how I compare with my quote mates. No, it's not. Have you built a house? People go around preaching. If at the age of 40, you don't own your own house, you're a failure. I said, Matthew chapter 75, verse 82, apparently. And these are preachers. Mount a pulpit. If at the age of 40, you have not yet done this, you're a failure. I want nonsense. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. How can you open your mouth in a pulpit and tell me that if a man does not have a house at a particular age, he's a failure? Paul failed all his life. That's what you're saying. Success is defined by how much I manifested the plan of God for my life. Therefore, no human being can judge me successful or otherwise. Most of the people that men celebrate are going to hell. You don't know that? There are Christians being celebrated. And God said, I'm going to kill this guy. Just watch him. Watch me. I'm icing him neat. Why? Because he has done what is popular. The other day, we're watching in my house, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And they said, who won 2 awards in South Africa? So, and so, and so. So, yeah. They now say, Femi Kuti. For a song that God can kill a human being for. A song that was so bad, Nigerian Broadcasting Corporation banned it on their airwaves. South Africans gave him a word. You know, songs that you hear once, you tune your radio and call your children. If you ever play this song, 2 people are going to punish you. Me, first, before God has a chance. You know what I mean? You line the children up. If I ever hear you dance while this song is going on, you're in trouble. I will so finish with you, you won't sit down for a week. Yet he got awards for it. Forget what human beings celebrate. Forget what human beings celebrate. Success is not defined by how much you are celebrated. Not at all. Success is not defined by how much you are celebrated. Listen, if you're an American preacher, to be on television is very easy. I hope you know that. So, whether you're a preacher on TV or not, it's not what defines success. There are many successful pastors, as I'm speaking, who are preaching in Peru. Where did I say? But you don't know. Normally, they don't speak your language. They don't have the money to go on international TV. If you have to go use popularity, when we get to heaven, American preachers go live, and then go take all the crown in heaven. But when we reach there, you go know the truth. Success is not judged by how much people give you acclaim, how much you acclaimed worldwide, how much people celebrate you. You've heard me say this several times. When I was much younger as a Christian, I used to wonder how come a non-believer is the richest man in the world. And God is saying, in effect, says who? In Revelations, God said, I know your deep poverty. He said, but in fact, you are very rich. You know, that's what he said. One of the churches. He said, I know of your poverty. That's what men say. He said, but as far as I'm concerned, you are rich. Then turn to another church. He said, you say I'm rich, but you don't know how wretched you are. Let me say it again. What is success? It is how much I am conformed. Are you getting my point? To the plan of God for my life. How much do I manifest it? You know, sometimes, you know, you have to be careful what you read. You have to be very careful. When you are reading, like somebody said, you must read like a cow. You know how cows chew? You know, that is when they chew the grass, spit out the stick. That's what one woman wrote in one book. That when you are reading, you will read as the way a cow chews. Grab everything from my mouth, chew and spit out every other thing. Like I used to say, when my son Akindu was small, you give him fish in the mouth. There are times he will eat. Put his hand in like this, give it to you. That's a piece of bone you forgot inside. You get what I'm saying? Yes. What I'm saying, when you are watching TV, when the world is talking, be careful. Don't let them teach you their standards. Because that's what they are subtly trying to do. I remember all the time, the day they asked Pat Robertson's wife, what's your greatest achievement in life? He said, raising my four children. Yeah. And there's another woman who also said the same thing. I think it's John Hagee's wife also. Can't remember who said that also. He said, what's your greatest achievement in life? He said, raising my four children. That was the greatest achievement. And listen, that's the will of God. Somebody was talking about Bill Clinton, George Bush. That's George Bush, the first George Bush, his wife. The man said, it happens to be one woman who married a president and raised another. It's an achievement. Because without her being there, that guy probably would not have made it to be president. Now that would the son has made to be president. So it's an achievement. I'm the wife of one president and the mother of another. What I'm saying is, forget what the world is celebrating. There are things the Bible says that are highly esteemed before men, but before God, nothing. Let me say it again. What is success? Success is conforming yourself with the reason why God made you. That's what it is. The world can't tell you whether you are successful or not. It's at the end that you will appear one day, they will tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. I think it was Catherine Kuhlman who was said to have said that that one thing, when she gets to heaven, when she sees the Lord Jesus Christ, she will look at him and say, Lord, I tried. For all the fight, all the antagonism, Lord, I tried. Then in trying to preach this gospel, I tried. I'm adding my own words now. In trying to be what you created me to be, I tried. Not in trying to satisfy people. In trying to be popular, in trying to make it early, trying to be named amongst the richest men in Africa. No, no, no. It's in trying to be exactly what you created me to be. That's what success is. That's what success is. I hope you've gotten my point. Am I clear what I've said? If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Very good. Now, let me go to my next point.
You know, all of these things I'm saying, just introducing what I want to talk about. I hope you know that. Yes, I mean, there's nothing I've said now you haven't heard me say at least 5 times before. That's if you are not even a veteran here. For those who have been with me from the beginning, say, Pastor Bangi, preach another one. I have 17 tips in which you discuss this matter. So there's nothing new. You get my point? All right? I'm just trying to put things together. Now, again, let me go to the next point. Again, still reviewing before I sit on the main thing which we are going to be on for some time. Not just one day, not 2 days, maybe more than that. All right? That's concerning the Word of God. Now, again and again, I've defined the word grace. What grace is. I've said to us several times that nobody, all right, can succeed before God without using the power of God. It's not possible. Say, God is all in all. This is how God is. He teaches you, sets the question, tells you how to answer it. And if you beg him, he'll tell you which answer to give. Then he marks it and says to you that you are successful. Say, but you were the one that helped me. He said, you know what I'm marking? That you allowed me to help you. Are you getting my point? That's what God is. Listen, let me say to you again. The difference between Esau and Jacob is that Jacob allowed God to help him and Esau was too strong. He did not need help. Are you getting what I'm saying? The difference between Esau and Jacob, why God loved Jacob and hated Esau is what I'm saying to you. It was because Esau was good, a good man, a strong man. He knew how to plan, how to make his goals and achieve his goals, how to achieve his dreams. He knew how to do it. He knew all the principles of building a business, how to rise up early and go to bed late, and explain to you the reason why you have not succeeded is because you are lazy. Why he's strong. He knew how to do it. That was an Esau. What was Jacob? If you don't bless me, you ain't going anywhere. If you don't bless me, I can't do well. That's Jacob. When he says, see God's blessings there, he runs after it. Look at every other thing. Say, wait, let's get that one first. All other things will be added to us. That's what Jacob is. Those are the people that God regard highly. Those who say, I can't do it. I don't know anybody. I don't know the principles, but I know how to pray. If I pray, God will help us. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what Jacob is. God does not like strong men. If you have things to rely upon, whether in yourself or around you, the degree you have, the intelligence you have, the knowledge you have, all those things, God easily gets tired. Those things actually, they constitute obstructions to the manifestation of his power. That's why. Not because he's egoistic, just likes to, you know, trumpet his own name. No, it's because indeed his name is worthy of all honor and glory. To him belongs all power. So if somebody does not allow him manifest, you are the one. Do you get my point? It's like a man says, we are going to nature. I can run. Hey, run now. Haley Gabriel said, you are welcome. Start running. Me offering you a ride, I know what cars can do. Your generations have never seen a car. You get what I'm saying? So Esau says, I don't need your car. He has never seen a car. He doesn't know what a car can do. So he starts running. And the man who says, you know, I can't run. Help me. I said, okay, enter my car. In 1 hour, we're in Onitsha. Haile Gabriel Selassie runs 40 kilometers in 2 hours. He will do Onitsha in 6 hours. That's if we can make it at a stretch. Please, bear that in mind again. So what am I saying? To become everything that God wants us to be, he still requires or demands that we still wait for him to give us what? The power. He said, tarry in Jerusalem. Now, I'm sending you to all the uttermost parts of the world. But please, don't take a step until you are endued with power from on high. I'm going somewhere. I will introduce it and we will continue next time. He said, don't move until you are endued with power from on high. Even though I said to you, this is my plan for your life. You are going to preach this gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. But please, don't move until I give you the power to do it. You are following what I'm saying? That's how God is. He makes a plan about your life. He said, the Lord has sent me. And I ask another word to it, and his spirit. He has sent me and his enablement.
When God makes a plan for my life, next thing he does is to create the power to make it possible for me to fulfill that which he created me to be. Then, this is what he demands from me. He now says, you want to go or you want me to help you? Again, it doesn't force people. I'm going somewhere in all things I'm saying. Grace is when I allow God to work in my life to bring to pass that which he proposed. You are getting what I'm saying? Grace is when I allow God to work in my life so that his will for my life is done by his own power. Everything I do, they are just the things I do so as to cooperate with the working of God. When God called Moses was, you know, I told you before, we talked about zeal. Remember zeal? I said zeal needs a cure. Zeal is good if it's handled properly. When you act on zeal quickly, it leads into trouble. Moses had the zeal. He saw his people being punished. Therefore, he decided that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to rise up and fight. And God said, this is how he will scatter everything. So he threw him into the wilderness. Until next time they sent him, he said, I can't go. Next time they said, yeah, go. You are. He said, please, forget the idea. He said, but you wanted to deliver the people. He said, that was 40 years ago. A man was still strong that time. He said, those are just for the boys now. We are old men. In fact, I've so lost my self-confidence, I can't talk properly anymore. God said, that's what we're saying. Thank you very much. Now you are ready. Ready for what? And I said, this is how you go. I give you a staff. With that, you make and unmake staff. You know, I believe, all right, that one of the reasons why God gave him that is so to show to everybody that there's nothing the man is doing. Do you get my point? It's like I said, go and pack Atlantic Ocean out of where it is right now. Let's turn it into a desert. So how shall I do? I give you a spoon. It's obvious that this spoon ain't going to achieve anything. So whatever we are achieving, it must be by a power different from that of the spoon. How can you part a whole ocean by stretching a rod over it? Obviously, it's not you. So that's why the Bible said that God sent Moses with a mighty hand. Are you getting my point? When Moses said, just Moses, just don't worry, just go there. Whatever I tell you to say, say it. If you vex, vex. Then I say, I vex, so there will be lightning and thunder. Just watch it. Just by vexing and saying there shall be lightning and thunder will come. It's called my mighty hand. That's what is following you. Success for Moses will be to allow God's mighty hand to manifest. It's not to arrange, all right, after these PDP primaries, what are we up to next? Do you understand my point? No. Please, I hope you have another one. That's what grace is. That's what grace is. That's what God's grace is. Now, what is a man's job? What is a woman's job to do so as to allow this grace to be manifested? That's where I'm going in all these things that I've been introducing. There's a way life is. He said, God made men upright, but he sought out many devices. Listen to this. The power of God is like a dam. Let me put it like that. It's heavy, full of water, ready to be released. The only thing is that there is an obstruction, which is the dam wall, which we have created, listen to me, that's preventing the power of God to be released. What am I saying? God, whatever God has made you to be, it's under pressure to manifest. But what we have been doing, that's how human beings are. You're not specially bad as a person. That's just human beings are. That's how they are. It's what that's what some preachers call flesh. You understand? Like, we are struggling with God. Therefore, what God is doing is trying to subdue us. Once we have been subdued, then his power automatically manifests. What God is doing is converting the Esau's down to Jacob. People who are weak, who are not strong in themselves, but are only strong in their relationship with God. What am I saying? Listen, what God takes time to do is to bring you to the place where his will for your life and his power for your life is automatically manifested. That is what the work is. They came to Jesus and said, what must we do to do the works of God? He looked and said, the work of God is that you believe. That right now you are struggling too hard. You don't believe anything. If you believe, then you see the power of God manifested. He said, who has believed our report? to that person, the arm of the Lord will be revealed. Are you getting what I'm saying? What am I saying here? I know what I'm going somewhere in all things I'm saying. The job, now listen to this. The job we all have as believers, which is what I want to discuss again beginning from today. The job we all have is to allow ourselves, listen to this, to become, it sounds so simple, don't miss it, to become exactly, listen to this, what God wants us to be in our hearts and our minds. And life automatically will respond to everything that we desire. Listen to me. Everything that you say. Listen. God didn't have to talk to Jesus to go and raise the son of the widow of Nain. You know what happened? Compassion moved him. I don't know what I heard me. That is, a point came. If Jesus says this is bad, it's automatically corrected to being good. The Lord didn't whisper to him that cause that tree. He just got there and got angry with a tree. Oh God, I wish you get my point. You know, you're driving on the road. And one driver drives north and say, this is how they drive and they will just get accident. If Jesus said that, that car will burn. I don't know what I hear what I said. Assuming that Jesus was driving on the road, and the driver drove nonsense, and the Lord said, it no go better for you. Just watch it. That guy's life is wrecked. You know the way we say it? Idiot! As you talk that idiot, the guy's brain evaporates. Do you understand my point? He becomes stupid. Now, you can imagine, therefore, that it's risky for the Lord to distribute that amount of power inside this room right now. There was a day I came in here. There was an issue with this building that time. So, there was some issue with the locks and all of that. The doors were not proper. The place was not secure. So, one man came in and stole our tapes, some of our equipment, little things that we kept in here. And that day, of course, I saw his the footprint, the dirt that his foot left as he climbed over the wall over there to climb into that office. That day, I remember I was very angry. I stood like this. I was angry. I remember what I said. I said, Lord, I serve you with all my heart. Kill this man the next place he climbs. I stood. I said, let every rising of his be met with a fall. I cursed that guy so bad. Jonathan came later, prostrated or got a beg. I don't know him, but he will die. He saw how angry I was. Now my case said the stiff wire. Things will replace 10 times over a short time later. But I was so livid with rage. That how dare you? Where we do nothing but preach the word of God. Are you getting my point? I was so angry. Jonathan was there as I was crossing the press. After, I think 2 days later, he said, sir, I want to tell you something. I said, he said, I have thought about it. That guy, I think he's going to die. So I've come to plead. I can't remember how we solved it. But you know what I'm trying to tell you? God says, see, bank, waiting the thief. Did they slap you? No. They just thief your tape. You won't keep us. Are you getting what I'm saying? I was reminding my wife of a story, something that happened some time ago. A man annoyed me so much. You see, I understood spiritual principles. I was so angry. The man didn't know why I didn't talk to him. Because that day, I don't think I was wrong. I had this conviction in my heart. If I opened my mouth, that guy would meet an accident that day. I might die. I don't want to give you these details. But it was not a very serious thing that you should kill a man for. But I was just angry. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. Before God allows certain amounts of power into you, he has to be sure you don't kill every thief that breaks through your window. I don't know whether you heard me. He has to be sure. He has to be sure. Some people insulted. Now, if I'm going on the road and somebody tells me that's banking, say, my friend, come back from here. You did Chris, and you are with me. You know, you will look like, excuse me, please. Excuse me. Is that Pastor Baki? You just asked whether he's mad? And I'm a small guy like me. Imagine the Lord Jesus Christ going somewhere. And the whole city decided to riot against him. Peter, James, and John couldn't understand it. He said, Lord, move back, move back. We're about to go fire. Now, do you get my point? They were angry. And this is a man they love and respect. They've seen him do things for people. He raises the dead to help people. He feeds multitude. He solves problems for people. He was only coming to their town to come and help them. And look at what they are doing. He said, "Master, please, just give us small anointing. Just let, drop on here, drop on here. You don't need to do it. Just move back." Let me add my own words to it now. The Lord said, "This is why the Lord didn't give you directly. Because by now, half of Israel will be up in smoke." So he said to them, "You don't know the kind of spirit that you have." I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me go back to what I was saying. It's now you've gotten me. I am saying, there's a place God wants to transform you into. That's your heart, your person. That a time comes, you just wish for something. And next day, the events of this earth are rearranging to bring that wish to pass. Listen, executing success in life. Now, you know we have defined success now, right? Becoming successful in life is not... Yinka asked me a few days ago. He said, "Sir, this year, are you planning to read any other book apart from core spiritual books?" That is, there's a reason why I asked. In previous time, we have discussed things like that. That you see, sometimes when you read books that are not very spiritual, if you are not careful, they make you so wise. You are too wise for the power of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Meanwhile, what God is trying to do is make you foolish. So that in your foolishness, you will discover the power of God. That's why he was asking me. In life, we have to be very smart so that we don't get so wise. We are too wise for the power of God. Let me go back to what I was saying. So success is not in how much I have become so wise in arranging the affairs of life. Success is not in an MBA. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not in the skills of business. Now listen to me. You will have skills. Do you have an amen? You will. But that's not what success is in. It is in being transformed, becoming exactly what the Lord wants your heart to be. Listen, why I said everything I said is this. A time comes, listen, when you have become that, you'll be going on the road. And you say, "It would be good though, for a road to connect here to there. If that happens, this place would be a very good place for this kind of business." And that's it. Next day, an angel will wake the governor in the morning. "Wake up, sir. Get your structural, what they call them, town planners and your engineers. A road needs to pass here." And listen, I'm writing an article right now. For those of you on our mailing list, you'll soon get it. What I call the simplicity of the miraculous. Miraculous things don't always come out of the blue. Just Jengen, James Bond. Or is it Ben 10? No. Miraculous things, the way they happen sometimes, that man will just wake up. And suddenly he'll be driving around in town. He said, "Don't you guys think that if we did this and we did that, this will happen?" And they say, "Yes, sir." He said, "In fact, when we get to the office now, let's begin to plan on it." They begin to plan. Before you know what's happening, so suddenly it's urgent. You know, there's a way God puts urgency into the heart of the king. It's only urgent to him. Before the end of the year, they've issued the contract. The following year, the road is there. And somebody looks to you and says, "Sir, was this not the place you said about 18 months ago that it would be nice if a road connected here?" There it is. A road has connected it. I don't know what I heard. Listen, God, each person has his part. Can you remember that? There are those that have their part. You know, the other day, my wife and I, we prayed here, then my wife and I prayed at home about what I want done concerning ministry. Hear me, I'm relaxed in my soul. I know it will happen. If God has to build radio stations, he will. The way I understand myself now, I cannot determine currency rates, exchange rates by my desires. There are people here that God said, "That is your own part." I don't know what I heard I said. You will read a newspaper. You say, "Why is a pound going for this amount against a dollar?"
I think it doesn't make sense. If it's like this, our investments in Europe will not be very fruitful. I think the pound should adjust against the dollar to this at this particular rate. Just a casual talk, and you close the paper. Next day, a European Central Bank will adjust interest rates in such a manner that the value of the euro will adjust, the pound will follow suit. Next thing you know, it has adjusted. I'm not joking about that. God sees in my heart that I'm serious. It has adjusted to make sure your investment in Europe is profitable. You cannot learn that in a business school. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I thought about, you know, I've been married for, it was 11 years in December. And I haven't been married for a long time. I mean, who's senior me for here? Rocken, are you? You want to try? Who? Nobody. Okay, sorry, sir. I didn't see you on time. I'm very sorry, sir. But I have come to a conclusion after 11 years experience that if God does not bless you with a happy marriage, there's no book or counseling that can give it to you. I have seen it. That one, in fact, no, I told this year I'm going to teach for a few. We just put some things on tape on it. It is not possible. You know, I've seen people say that when you love your wife, she must respond with respect. And no, they obviously don't know what they are saying. Some say when you respect and honor your husband, he will love you back. Hey, human beings, you just start. You don't know human nature. Did God not love people so much that we serve the devil? Do I lie? It is on record. Go and check a lot of you girls where your head not correct. It's the wicked men that they love. They want to die for that harsh bubble where they slap them at random. The nice guys, nothing for them. I'm telling you the truth. When I see preachers say that, when you love your wife, they will. I say, oh God, you are not called to preach this thing. Leave that matter. Go somewhere else. Men, you want to love your wife because it's the will of God. Amen. There's no reward attached to, apart from the judgment seat of Christ. I'm telling you, there's no reward attached. At the judgment seat of Christ, one of the things you'll be judged concerning, Roka Idihesu, is your role as a husband. Say, Lord, the wife you gave me used to provoke me. So what did you do? I couldn't love her. You tell, you understand? You understand that you were there? Thou useless and unfaithful servant. But then no matter what the wife does, the man is judged as a husband. Are you getting my point? Yes, he is. Same with the woman. You are judged as a wife. Forget the husband. It's part of the judgment matter. So if you want to do things, you know, I've been saying it again and again. Stop doing things as Christians because of what you will get to. Do them because they are what? Right. What am I saying? We have come to understand that it's not about learning methods that makes you become get a good marriage. No. It's a blessing of God. But what I want to say is that there is a place where God will transform your heart to. Listen. That joy and happiness is attracted towards you as a blessing from above. It's not methods. It's not methods. It's not methods. People say, to make your wife happy, make sure you never forget her birthday. I've forgotten my wife's birthday once. I won't do it the second time, amen. My wife says twice once. That second time I knew. Because I forgot in the afternoon and then remembered again at night. But the point I'm making is it at the end of the day, the reconciliation for forgetting, do you get my point? Made the marriage even stronger. Because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Yes, it's the word of God. So when you forget once, just use, there's a grace you tap into in which it's as if you remember double. Amen? Amen? Trust me, I know what I'm saying. What am I saying out of these things? Listen, success we have defined, all right? Actually, it is released automatically. It's grace that God pours into your life and into my life when we do the thing that is proper. And what is that proper thing? It is not to go out and try and walk. They say, what must we do to do the works of God? He said, the work of God is first done sitting down.
inside, in your heart. Jesus said, the work of God is that you believe. What am I teaching this series? There is something that Christians have not been doing. When I say Christians, beginning from me as a person, that is, I am guilty. I'm repentant, but I'm guilty. Let me say it simply. It will surprise you if I say, you think, ah, sir, are you serious? Yes. We have not given enough attention to the Word of God. I don't mean it as a joke. Let me tell you what started it. I just said, well, that was one of the things that the Lord used to teach me. Bishop, you remember? Last year you went to Lagos for, what was the name of that program? Covenant 500, right? There was this program in Lagos. And how much was it for 1 week's training? 135,000 naira. Now, that was when I started thinking about some things. Let me give some other examples. You've seen management training being done. Goldman Sachs as an example. They're training, I forgot how many thousands of African women. 10,000. And somebody sent the information to me then for my wife. And it was actually a nice idea. Except that we calculated it. We didn't even know they were going to close Enugu Airport. You understand? That you had to fly to Lagos a number of times for the lectures and everything. The things, the stuff was subsidized. Are you getting me? And then you still had to spend quite some amount of money. Okay? And women are really going and they have testimonies. Now listen. People are getting degrees online now. You can get degrees from abroad. You can do it online. You can travel for master's degrees. Generally, they cost in the neighborhood of 2 to 4 million naira to get a master's. All right? Okay. Are they good things? Yes. I'm not saying they are bad at all. But something struck me. If I locked this door, are you getting me? And I said, I'm doing a series of teaching for, let's say, I've gotten 2 or 3 other preachers, and we're going to teach intensively for 1 month, and that gate fee to crack that door open so you can enter is 10,000 naira per head. This hall will be empty. Of course, not totally empty, but to a large extent, empty. Listen to me, so let's get this thing practical. If I offered a Harvard MBA in this same hall, all right? Okay, let's assume we could compress it to that same 1 month. And I say, listen to this, 150,000, I didn't say 5 million, 150,000 naira. You here, we raise the money. Suddenly you call your uncle. Ah, it's an opportunity. One in a lifetime. Uncle, no, you know I never asked you for money. This one. Hey! I didn't say 5 million because you said, oh, guy, you know, say I not did that. No, let's come down to 150,000. You'll be amazed at how rapidly you will raise the money. Then it hit me, it dawned on me that Amplified said the amount of attention and thought and study you give to the Word of God is what determines the amount of virtue that is released to you. It dawned on me that it's easy for us to tune for simple and free radio broadcast. It's simple. It's easy. And oh, Pastor Banky, you're doing a good work. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. You have turned my life around. God bless you, sir. And it's a good thing. But listen to what I'm saying. Until your heart is willing to pay a million naira for those broadcasts, there's a degree of power you won't get from the words that are coming forth. I'm not going to ever charge you money. No. Our CDs, MP3s remain 180 naira for an average of 8 to 10 messages. They are essentially free. On which we say, please, you can make copies for your friends. The money just for 2 things. One, to cover our cost of production. And secondly, to just not give, to cast our, so we don't cast our pearls before swine. You have to want it before we let you have it. But something hit me. We have not taken the Word of God serious enough to be willing to sell all that we have and bite. Listen, let's be honest. That's where we are. This is the interesting part. We are willing to give. So you know what? I'm not saying we are wicked people. If a church came and said, oh, praise God, this is for the propagation of the gospel. Actually, we are more willing to give than if they said, it is for learning this word for 3 months. That one, why are people so expensive? Why? These pastors, they say, we don't understand them. What is going on? Pastor Kramik, Banky preaches there, it is free. But Pastor Kramik, you preaches there, it is free. Pastor Kramik, you preaches there, it is free. What is it that is? Go begin calculate. But the Harvard MBA you are going to pay for, listen, the materials, the knowledge you want to get from there, hear me, it's free on the internet. Like, is there a line what I've said? There's no information that any professor has hidden anywhere that you can't get free in this world. You can borrow the book. Libraries are essentially free. Wikipedia is totally free. Old archive journals are free. But why would you give 1.5 million naira to get an MSc from a foreign university? Simple. You have hope in it. There's no other reason. There's no other reason. There ain't no other reason. This is the annoying part. We are more willing to work for God than to settle down and learn from Him. What I'm introducing, which is where, you know, all that introduction, was to get to this level. The summary is that the average Christian today does not give enough attention to God's word to impress the Lord at all. I dare to say, including Pastor Banky. See, Pastor Banky, you too? Yes. Let me just explain to you why you can't even judge whether I'm... You can't even begin to think that maybe I'm just being modest. I'll tell you. The things you hear, my wife will testify. The things you hear me preach. You know, I bought her a very powerful player recently that can store all our messages and just click a button. Very small, handy, very, very tiny. So, anywhere you see my wife, in fact, if you see her in the market, sometimes I say she dey walk off the road. She either has earphones or she's everywhere. So, you get to the room, it's also on the bed. So, sometimes I put it on. But that day, I listened to one of the days we taught, School of Prayer. I told my wife, this is not fair. It's not fair. She said, what is not fair? I said, this is what people listen to. That I did not even know. I said, there are things I hear myself say, I didn't know I knew them. So, as I did here, na anointing. Amen? Na anointing. I used to think I'm getting blessed. I've realized I'm not getting blessed at all. I'm walking. If I like, let me not go home and carry a Bible. And kneel down and pray and hear the word. If I like, as everybody that I preach to, they will succeed one after the other. I pray they remember me. That's the only way success will reach my side. I'm telling you, that's how spiritual things are. There's one man I read about in a book. This guy, very generous, very nice guy. Except that he's always broke. His needs are never met. No, get my point. He will wake up. He will be at home. The Lord will wake him up. If I want the Lord to go and buy 4 tires and go and give to that particular brother. And that guy has been driving one car around that the tires were looking like, you know what I'm saying? They don't so smooth. The wire will come off for this side. Sewing thread will come off for this side. No tire. Smooth. So he has been praying. So the Lord woke this other guy up, said, go and give him 4 tires. So he took all the money he had, bought 4 new tires, and went there. He said, are you the one? Yes. He said, I should give you. Enjoy his work. He said, what's the problem? He said, that's what he does all the time.
Everybody else's need, he will meet it. Send me. Come, me, I don't have anything. The guy was whining. That is, he was whining as he was leaving. That if I'm the one that prayed now, nobody comes. It sounds funny. A man who was sensitive enough to be sent by God to go and meet somebody else's need. God knows they send anybody to meet your own need. And the guy writing the book was the one they came to give tires to. He said, how I wish you would grumble less. He collected the tires and was wishing that, God, I wish his brother would stop grumbling. Spiritual things are like that. Elisha, you know, was a powerful man, did more miracles than Elijah, right? Then he was sick with a sickness that killed him. His master walked with God like Enoch, and he was not, for the chariots of fire took him. Amen? He collected double anointing, did double miracle, shook Israel so much when he was about to die. The king came and cried, my father, the chariots of his Israel and the horsemen thereof. That's how he cried. Then the sickness took him and killed him. Forget anointing. No? I've told you before, guarantees nothing. Guarantees what? Nothing. Let me end. We'll continue next time. This is summary today. Let me put it to you that Christians, you and me, we have not yet impressed God a bit concerning the amount of regard and attention we give to his word. And listen, there are degrees. That's why we keep struggling. That's why we keep having business ideas that don't work. That's why we chase 10 women, not one has agreed to marry us. I'm telling you the truth. That's why we pray from now to forever, we will not conceive a child. That's why. And let me say to you quickly, you cannot pray and confess into existence as a Christian what the word has not transformed your heart into. That shortcut, no, they work. We like shortcuts. We like what? Shortcuts. Listen, Christians love to pray. And I'm sorry to say, most of the prayers are prayers of habit. Now, I've told you before, there's prayer of faith. A lot of them are prayers of desperation, joblessness, imitation. Give me another prayer. Idleness. What do you want to say? Frustration, fear. There's prayer of frustration. Prayer of fear, not out of faith. There are very few amounts of prayer of faith rising up to heaven. Prayer of faith is only initiated by the entrance of the word. It's when I, Daniel, discovered in the books the number of the years. That was when I remembered to go and pray for the redemption of Israel. Let me settle it, please. I want to close. I don't want to shoot in any extra time this year. We need to repent. Did I hear an amen? Amen. I wish you get what I'm saying. We have not begun. Until we'll be willing to sell all that we have. See what I said? Willing. The other day I told my wife something. It sounded like a joke. But I meant it. God knows I meant it. I told a friend of mine. There's a man, I just got some of his books. The books are cheap, bought them from the US. Each one must have arrived in Nigeria at less than 2,000 naira. I got like four of them. I'm reading them. The first one is blessing me so much. I'll read the other four. I told my wife, if the rest bless me like this, he'll be one man that's touching me like this at this season. I said, I will get his tapes. It's going to cost me about 100,000. I will get them. I said, when I finish, I'm going to the American embassy. I'll collect a visa, I'll buy a ticket, I'll go and see him. It sounded funny. But I'm joking. I'm not joking. Because you're a witness. There are prayers I've prayed for long. He seems, I'm suspecting this is the answer. I'm reading the book now. I will soon finish. There are four or five of them when I finish. I order the tapes. It's going to cost me a lot of money. When I finish eating all the tapes, if I still feel like that, as God lives, I'm going to the American embassy. Good morning. Are you going to America to do what? I want to go and see somebody.
They will give me the visa. I'm telling you, they will give me. Now, I'm not even saying because I've gone there before and all of that. No. I mean, the kind of thing that's sending me there, they will give me. There's this school he runs for about, is it a month? I'm serious. I will sell my car, convert the money to dollars, go and lodge there. I don't think I know anybody in California, but I will, in Nigeria, we'll fool everywhere. I will find somebody. It sounds, I was telling my wife a few days ago, but I meant it too. Because I said, if things are good, you know the reason? Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He said, this is how it is. You have a part. The only way it will be delivered to you is if you tap into the word of delivery. Do you get my point? And you can sit down here, be buying land. We are very good at that. Buy a motor car. It's a sign of progress for us. In your church, what are you now? I'm not a deacon. It's a sign of progress. One day I went to pray for a man. He was burnt from head to toe. So I told him, somebody came to call me. I told him, I've come to pray for you and I expect God to. I'm a doctor, I know that kind of thing. Natural chance of survival is 0 times 100. So we needed faith. But as I began to pray, the first thing he told me, I said, this guy is not getting the point. He said, yes, in fact, they've called Pastor Kumi, he too will be coming. When he said two things like that, I said, in my mind, all right, I'm going. In my mind, I prayed for him. This guy had about 90% bonds. I'm not joking, 90%. He wasn't going to survive anywhere in the world. He wasn't going to survive. And you are accounting for me, the big man that you know. He died like 3 days later, of course. He was going to die, but I noticed something. It was that I'm a good Christian. Don't worry about that, bro. I'm a good Christian. Pastor Kumi is coming. He's coming. And when he's through, E8RW2 will come and finish the prayer. Between the three of you, you guys should be able to handle it. You know that kind of thing. What am I saying? We have esteemed. There was a man I knew once. I went to him and said, do you have this man's tape? No. This one? I said, sir, you don't have anything. He said, I sit with him all the time, you know. Hi! Are you getting what I'm saying? No, we haven't. We have not. The Bible says that this is how the kingdom of God is. A man saw a pearl of great price somewhere. He covered it. He ran away. Sold what? All that he had. Because he understood the value for it. The way Bishop Oyedepo said, he said, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue towards you. I dare to say to us so that we can feel guilty and pray and repent. That we think we do. Because we run, you know, we are better than other people. We come out on Saturday evenings to go and hear the word. Hallelujah. But God said, you have not even reached 1% of what I'm talking about. So what do you mean? It's all right. You have saved enough money to buy a car. Now I want you to go and buy a book with it. Say, what? Why? Say, listen, what is inside that book is not anywhere else. It's not a book. Say, see what I'm saying. Let me close. I will continue from here. I have not finished. I have not.